Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is The Power of Play to Combat Fear and features Joanne Seymour Brigden in an interview with Alex Ruffner.
All right. Well, hello. I'm Alex. I'm one of the editorial assistants for Imagine Magazine. Welcome, Dr. Seymour Brigden. Thank you so much for joining me today on this Imagine podcast.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Of course. So the COVID-19 pandemic has raised great concerns for children's mental health, as well as their caregivers, service providers, and professional organizations. This year's Imagine podcast series would like to find out about the challenges that you face and how you promote good social and emotional development in infants and young children, and also what supports you give to their parents, caregivers, and communities. All right, so we'll kick it off with an easy one. Where do you work and what is your role?
I am an associate professor at Missouri State University in the Department of Childhood Education and Family Studies.
Awesome. So when you think about the COVID-19 pandemic, what is on your mind when you read about the rise in mental health issues among young children?
Well, there's lots of things that come to mind there. Everybody's under so much stress. So parents are under stress, the teachers are under stress, and families, depending on, you know, what their livelihood is, under stress for so many different reasons. And, you know, children can feel that. So they feel the stress and anxiety and mimic it, and it becomes their own then. But some of the other things that I really think about when I hear folks talking about children's social emotional development and, you know, not getting to play with their friends as often and things like that, I thought about it in the long term. So I understand that there could be some problems there with limiting play and things like that. Although young children, infants, they don't need play part. They don't need other infants to play with them. So, but if there's that limiting part that children are used to or hadn't had before, I just weighed that. Another thing is how people are responding to it. So when I think of maybe with schools, since children were out for so long, they have this idea of when they come back, like we have to catch them up. Well, children are still learning. They're still existing. They don't have to be on this particular time frame. And I'm speaking as an, you know, early childhood teacher, educator, like they're still learning. They're fine. Just because they're not hitting all of the things that you particularly want them to learn doesn't mean that they're not learning.
Right. You touched on a couple of really, really incredible things there. I love that you mentioned just like the collective stress and anxiety that we have gone through as people. So it's not just children that are under stress because they don't get to play with their peers, but it's also the teachers that are stressed. And when a child goes to have a play date with a friend, there's the stress of like, yes, are we going to pass this potentially deadly disease on? So it's really the collective stress of us as an entire human entity, and just how that affects every single interaction that we have as families, as peers, as children playing together, that can drive all of this and, like you said, spiral it out of control.
And children can work those things out in play, in individual play. That doesn't have to even be with other children.
So let's switch gears just a little bit. You said that you were an associate professor, so you work with college age students and educating them on early childhood education. How do you think COVID-19 has affected the mental health of your students?
Well, it's tough. They're having a hard time. What's interesting is that it's gotten worse. The stress and the effect on emotional, on mental health is getting cumulatively worse. And so seeing that in my undergraduates had me like reach out to my graduate students and saying, hey, I'm seeing this and you guys have to be doing it too. And a lot of my graduate students is early childhood and family development. So not all of them are working with, you know, not all of them are teachers, but they may be in different capacities working with children and families, but they're having to deal with not only their own lives, but doing that. And I heard a lot of that little, just sent out a little mini video on it to everybody. And I heard back from a lot personally about everything that's going on.
Are there any ways that you have adjusted your teaching to adapt to your students' mental health needs throughout the past semester?
Being more forgiving on timelines and needing to do things over and over, you know, and sometimes I might even give a student a choice like, okay, you could get this grade on this, but I would like you to keep going and figure it out. So if you want to, you know, let's have a discussion or whatever. So it's more understanding and not penalizing for things like that.
So how do you think parents can nurture their child's mental health through this new era that we're living?
Play with them.
Yay.
You know, but also, I mean, it's play. So it's not just playing with them, but it's also letting them play without you. Let them have time and space to play. You don't have to be engaging with the child. Now, when they're infants, that's true then even, you know, they need time to play, especially the younger ones. They need literal FaceTime with their caregivers, and that's all they need. And I think one of the main things is getting across to parents right now, and this can maybe hopefully help ease some of their stress, is that they don't need extra things. Let me tell you, taking a playful attitude when you're having a disagreement or an issue with a child or having something you want them to do that they don't really want to, first realize, do they need to? But then, you know, having a playful attitude about it makes a huge difference. You know, power struggle never is good for anybody, right? So you make it all playful and that's good. But I want parents to know that, that's what they really need.
It's incredible that one of the best things that they can do for their child is to take a step back and to just let their kid play. And I love that recommendation on how that is actually one of the best things you can do for your little ones. When, you know, parents are getting all of this extra input from either companies or, you know, their educators, like you should be doing this, or they're getting all this extra advice, how do you think we can best support communities to build sustainable mental health and well-being for infants and young children, as well as their families?
Yeah. How do we deal with that attack? I feel like, like we deal with a lot of other things, education. The more that people actually know about development, the more they can resist those sorts of things and understand what's going on. And I think that is it across the board. Education, information about what children need, not these programmed sorts of things, because play is connected to emotional well-being across the lifespan. So play, and it's connected to better family relationships and family happiness and all of that. So as a play researcher, we hypothesize, most of the play researchers do, that, you know, this rise in behavior issues and mental health issues pre-COVID, we talked about this, was due to this constant reduction of playtime. And it has both indoors and outdoors. And it has, like, the outdoors, the time outside has decreased every decade for 50 years. Yeah. So we really see the connection there between mental health. So I think the more the communities understand that on different levels, because you have pockets that understand it. But the people who are making decisions are the ones who need to understand it. because you can have teachers in a school that understand, parents that understand. But if that administrator doesn't come along on that, it's hard.
Right.
So I think maybe, you know, the leaders need to understand this information.
All right. So what are some resources that you recommend either to learn more about unschooling or resources that you might have for parents?
One thing is emotion coaching. That's from Gottman. Some of his amazing things about relational things that they've created a thing for children. And so you can see a little bit about it. Their 1 hour video on it is free on their website. If you're interested in learning about some other parenting ways, like gentle parenting is pretty popular right now. Mindful parenting is popular right now. You know, an oldie, but really a goodie is PET. So parent effectiveness training, that's been around a long time, but it's still solid.
And you already touched on this a little bit before, but talking about our hopes for these pandemials, you're hoping that they will have more opportunities for play.
Exactly. And I also hope that then that these institutions who have such a big interaction with our children respond in what they actually need. And I really hope that there's lots of advocacy pieces around the country and lots of bills being written, bills being passed to ensure that children are getting the recess they need, you know, play sorts of experiences in school. So I am hoping that by the time these pandemials get into the school systems, that they will be responsive to what they need, because they will need it probably more than ever.
Yeah. That kind of morphs again right into our last question. I feel like you're just reading my mind throughout this interview. Some advice for our listeners facing this mental health crisis.
Take care of yourself.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to do anything for others when you're not taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's so hard. It's so hard. Because often if you're very caring and care about someone else's mental health, you're doing the caring for the other people, right? It's that value you have for others. But I would say, take care of yourself, move, you play, get outside, the things that we kind of know already, eat well, all that stuff. But like, easy thing is get outside. That's easy to do, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like anything, we have to prioritize our own mental health and self-care as well.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your insights. I learned so much. I'm excited to go dive into your resources that you recommended. And hopefully we will chat again with you in later editions as well.
Thanks for having me, Alex. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2022.